The world is on the verge of reaching catastrophic warming in the next 10 years, unless nations take immediate action. That's according to the latest report from the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, a group of scientists. And it finds that the Earth is set to get warmer than 1.5 degrees Celsius by the 2030s. Let's talk now to Rachel Cletus, Policy Director with the Energy and Climate Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Rachel, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott.
Climate scientists often say climate change is now, not later. And compared to pre-industrial times, the Earth on average is already heated up about 2 degrees Fahrenheit or 1.1 Celsius. And from this report, we're likely to hit 2.7 Fahrenheit rise or 1.5 degrees Celsius by the end of this decade. How does that translate into impacts on people?
Yes, Scott, as you point out, even now at about 1.1 degrees Celsius, we are in a dangerous and deeply inequitable climate crisis. We're seeing worsening climate-related disasters around the world, wildfires, heat waves, flooding, intensified storms, extended droughts, and the impact on people is very, very clear. We saw devastating floods in Pakistan last year. People are still reeling from them. And right now in the Horn of Africa, we have an extended drought, multiple failed rainy seasons that's threatening hundreds of thousands of people with famine.
This report cites hard limits to adaptation. In kind of regular English, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is that some of the climate impacts we're already experiencing are so extreme that it's getting increasingly hard for people to take actions to limit harms. So, for example, losing land to sea level rise, places that are becoming increasingly hot and dangerous to live or work outside in, these are the kinds of changes that ultimately might force people to be displaced from their homes and the places they love because they're no longer safe places, or they may not even exist if land disappears.
Science is about levels of certainty and uncertainty. I wonder if you were struck how many times this report had phrases like high confidence in the science.
The science is just bracingly clear, and it has been for a long time. But this report, every single statement about these impacts has high confidence, very high confidence attached to it. This is the kind of reality that should show us the time to act is now. Because the other thing about this report, it's a blueprint for urgent action. Because scientists are also telling us that there is a pathway to a better, more livable future if we take action now to sharply cut our heat-trapping emissions, sharply turn away from fossil fuels to clean energy.
So as far as this report, what do you draw as far as what's needed to be done to transform our energy systems, which are a main source, of course, of greenhouse gas emissions?
This IPCC report is very clear about the fact that we have the technologies at our fingertips, and these are things like renewable energy, wind, solar, battery storage, energy efficiency. The other piece the report is clear about is that we need a systems change. It's not just about incremental technology changes. We fundamentally need to shift our whole energy system to be cleaner. And to do that is going to require stepping up to the power of the fossil fuel industry, holding them accountable, making the switch, and making sure that every community, not just rich people, have access to clean energy and do not have to live in the shadow of pollution from fossil fuels.
Countries are going to be getting together this fall for the next global climate conference. There have been many, and I'm sure you've attended many of them. This report will presumably provide a framing for some of these discussions. But you know, and I've been to one of these meetings, how tough these discussions tend to be. Change is costly. What are the big policy questions going into this next meeting in Dubai?
Well, this next meeting, which will happen at the end of this year in Dubai, there are three major priorities. We have to get agreement to sharply phase down fossil fuels. There's no question about it. Fossil fuels are incompatible with our climate future. We also need richer countries to step up and provide climate finance. It is their responsibility. A country like the United States is responsible for a quarter of heat-trapping emissions on a historical basis. So it is our responsibility to provide climate finance for low-income countries to also cut their emissions and adapt to climate change. And the final piece is, because climate impacts are so dire, we have to invest in climate resilience, and we have to make sure that the loss and damage fund that was established last year at COP is made fully operational at this COP, so that people on the front lines of this crisis get the help that they need and deserve.
That's Rachel Cletus, Policy Director with the Energy and Climate Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Rachel, thank you again.
Thank you very much for having me, Scott.